key to this guy is in that briefcase. He turned green when they took it. Called it his business. He acted like they took the whole building or something.
What else do we have on him?
He's got an obsession for details.
He likes to do his own vacuuming.
All right, so we got a major crack manufacturer gives up $20,000 in cash, happily, and considers dying for a briefcase. What's in it?
Maybe business details, manufacturing plans.
More like a distribution chain or list of wholesalers.
So he'll be looking for it as hard as we will.
Get to it first, keep you posted.
Welcome back, Vice fans, to the Vice of Miami podcast for show 71. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. What about you?
Oh, doing good. Enjoying the weather?
We're getting 80s here, 78, but it's clouding up right now, so we might get a little bit of rain.
Yep. It's in the maybe upper 60s, lower 70s here. We're supposed to get some big, powerful storms in the Chicago area tonight. Actually, right now they're out in Iowa. Zach's out there doing okay. But supposed to get some storms later. It's nice having the windows open for the past few days. We're going to expand our patio in the back, or not our back, just our back seating area a little bit so we can enjoy the outside. And other than that, not much else going on. Same old, same old.
Yeah, same old here. We're just prepping for vacation in a little bit here, and we're ready to go.
What do you say we get into this, huh, Tim?
Let's do it.
All right. Again, we're welcoming you back. I hope everyone else is having a good start to their spring and middle spring, late spring, and let's get right into this. So welcome back, and we're covering season 3, episode 23, Everybody's in Show Business.
And Mark, this episode was written by Rinaldo Pavode and Dennis Cooper, directed by Richard Compton. The original air date was May 1st, 1987, and it is the 67th episode overall in the series.
And our plot: an actor becomes the target of a drug dealer when he steals the dealer's briefcase and the information inside. And let's check out the guest stars and the co-stars. And we've got a few that are returning. Tim, if you don't mind, I'll go over the returning ones, and then you could do Benicio. Is that cool with you?
Got it.
All right. Our first returning co-star is Michael Carmine as Mikey. We covered his biography in season 1 episode, Nobody Lives Forever. And our second returning guest star is Paul Calderon as Don Gallego. We covered his biography in the season 1 episode, Home Invaders. And the last one here is Cote Mundi, born Andy Hernandez, as Conejo. And we also covered his biography in a season 1 episode, No Exits. So, Tim,
a lot of season 1 returners.
Yep. That's going to play into part of my review, but go ahead.
Very good. All right. Our next one is Benicio Monserrate Rafael del Toro Sanchez, born February 19th, 1967 in Santruz, Puerto Rico. And he is a Puerto Rican actor known better as Benicio del Toro. And he plays an ex-con who was part of the Mi Vida Loca Theater. I don't think he really had much speaking parts in here, but...
No, not many.
Because I didn't recognize him. Then again, he was younger.
Very young. Oh, he was way young. I think he went by Pito in this episode. His name was Pito.
Del Toro began his acting career appearing as an extra in the video for Madonna single La Isla Bonita as the boy sitting on a car. Some notable TV appearances included Shell Game, Tales from the Crypt, and his most recent TV role in the 2018 miniseries Escape at Dannemora. Film appearances include Big Top Pee Wee, License to Kill, Money for Nothing, Fearless, The Usual Suspects, and Traffic, for which Del Toro won the 2000 Best Supporting Actor Academy Award, among several other titles. Del Toro has one daughter, Delilah, from a brief relationship with Kimberly Stewart, who is the daughter of singer Rod Stewart.
We've got Charles Keating. He was an English stage and screen actor who appeared as Marty Glickbird, Agent Mikey. He was born October 22nd, 1941. Keating began his career in the Royal Shakespeare Company Theatre Group before appearing on British television and his appearances included Brideshead Revisited and Crown Court. U.S. television included the soap operas As the World Turns, All My Children, and Port Charles. Some TV series included The Equalizer, Sex in the City, Alias Hercules, and Xenia Warrior Princess. Some film appearances included The Bodyguard, The Thomas Crown Affair, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, and Angelica. Keating married Mary Ellen Cudbody from 1963 until his death on August 8, 2014 in Weston, Connecticut from lung cancer at age 73. He is survived by his wife and two sons. And rounding out our co-stars, we've got Mario Ernesto Sanchez as Paco, Luis Valderrama, Francisco Padilla, and David Joseph Martinez as ex-con.
And Mark some Miami Vice in the news. The Cinemaholic reports that Benicio del Toro will be appearing in several movies in 2024 and 2025 to include The Phoenician Scheme, Sicario 3, and White Lies. All release dates are to be announced. All right, to begin this episode of Everybody's in Show Business, we find Tubbs in a limo playing Cooper with a dealer named Don Gallego while Crockett follows and listens in via wire that Tubbs is assumedly wearing. Tubbs and Gallego are having small talk when the driver stops at a bodega. Crockett notices two punks in masks and professional makeup going towards Gallego's limo to rob him and Tubbs, wanting cash and Gallego's briefcase. Gallego reluctantly surrenders the case to the punks after offering up the $20,000 to just try to get rid of him. And then the punks take off. Tubbs and Gallego exit the limo, watching where the punks go. The driver returns, and then they just buzz out of there, leaving Tubbs twisting in a wind.
And I'm wondering, did they mean to leave Tubbs? I mean, Tubbs was trying to make a deal here, obviously, right?
And did they just, I know.
Well, did they accidentally leave him here? Like, hey, are you part of this? Or
I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
Good question.
Anyway, we move along here to OCB, and now the Vice team is going over what went down. They wonder why Gallego would willingly give up this heavy wad of cash, but be prepared to die for a briefcase, as it was, as we heard in our opening. And if it contains a list of dealers or wholesale contacts, they don't know, but obviously something in there was very important. We will definitely find out what was so important in there. But anyway, while they split up to do their work, Trudy knows there are only so many places or only so many pro makeup places that go around that can do what they saw. So Gina and Trudy go to a makeup / trick shop where Gina is scared by a moving dummy. At first they walk in and just kind of pops out, and the owner Oakberg comes out, and I think he's in a wheelchair. He wheels out.
Yes, he did.
He wheels to a desk and he gets up and starts walking around. So maybe that was another trick that he had up his sleeve.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, he provides this list of people that he sold his makeup to, along with another gag. His arm comes off, or his hand comes off with the list. Haha. So Gina is perusing this list and she notices it's pretty much for the whole state. And they ask him to narrow it down a tad. And he does. And they're like, ah, what else you got up your sleeve? He's like, no, no more tricks. They're on their lead here. They know what they're looking for, but they still have to whittle this down to who around here, you know, does this professional makeup.
So in our next scene, we have Gallego is walking with two goons and an unnamed guy. One of them was his driver. Gallego is saying that they are going to a dinner theater that night and threatens this guy if the two punks aren't there. I think the one he was threatening was his driver.
Was it the driver? I was kind of confused. Because it didn't look exactly sure. Like him, but, you know, the driver was kind of like quick edited, you know, in the opening scene. So
I'm not really sure, but that's what I put in my notes. And then they end up at the Mi Vida Loca Theater, where an actor named Mikey is giving some sage advice to a theater group when Crockett walks in. He and Crockett seem to have a past as Mikey greets Sonny by name. Crockett then asks him about the theft, but he is very evasive about it and wants a warrant. Crockett waits outside for Tubbs, who then pulls up with the warrant. Mikey slips up saying he doesn't know nothing about nothing. And it, what was it about being in a limo? He said something about a limo. And then that's when Crockett said, I didn't say anything about a limo.
You want a warrant, Mikey? Come on, man. Make it easy on us. We just want the case and what's inside it. If there's any money in it, I don't give a damn. You can have it. I just need the information in the case.
Your friend's hallucinating.
Mikey, I know you took it. And if Don Gallego finds you out, he's gonna kill you.
Why don't you wake up, Crockett? I don't know any Gallego. I ain't seen no case. I ain't been in no limo. And I could care less about your problems. I got my own. What limo?
Did I say limo?
You're under arrest, buddy.
So then Crockett and Tubbs arrest Mikey. As they're taking him outside, his brother Pito says they can't do this. Mikey starts biting the headrest of the Testarossa. As Crockett and Tubbs are searching the premises, Mikey starts waxing poetic as he's bound to a pillar. I thought that was awesome.
They just tied him up. Essentially, tied him up outside, right?
Yeah, all this yelling by him.
The funniest part, they take him to the Testarossa as, you know, I would assume that they were going to take him downtown. And he just looks in. He's like, smells new or something. He starts biting on the headrest. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? And Crockett's like, what are you doing? Anyway, at OCB, Mike's further being pressed while Castillo watches on here. And then we learn that Mikey makes around $20,000 a night at the theater. Not bad for a, you know, ex-con who turned legit, I guess. We're led to believe he turned legit, right? So Castillo is going to put Switek at the theater, and he wants Crockett and Tubbs back on Gallego. Let's see how it plays out here. Back at the theater, we see Switek, not as police officer Switek. He walks in while prep work is being done on the stage, and one worker wants to know what he wants. Stan plays this off as that he was just released from prison in Kansas, and his dad died, and he needs to work off some stress, so figured he'd come here and check this place out. Obviously, there's a lot of ex-cons here, but good enough for him, huh? So outside, we see Gallego and crew pull up in the limo, and then they walk in, and he gives everyone the rundown on being robbed and hopes to get his briefcase back, or he's going to kill the person who took it. He walks up to this one guy, asks his name, Conejo, and he says, I'm going to kill you in 3 hours if I don't get the case. Further putting the screws on this guy, huh? Stan is just frozen, looking away. I don't even think he turned around when these guys were in there. He was just away, playing it cool as he blends in there. Crockett and Tubbs are on the outside here. And they see that Gallego and his crew drive away. And then Tubbs gets a call saying that Mikey's agent bailed him out of jail.
Gentlemen, I have been robbed by two men wearing makeup. These men took a case necessary to my business. So I hope that you understand when I say that if I don't get this case back within 24 hours, I will kill the man who took it.
So anyway, just before we move on, I just want to clarify that Mi Vida Loca is a theater for ex-cons. The whole everybody who's the cast crew, they're all ex-cons, basically getting a new lease on life, and it's basically run by Mikey.
Mikey. It seems like Mike was the stage manager, person, director, and head
director, things like that. Yeah,
but heck, if it's pulling in $20,000 a night, it's pretty good theater, right?
Yep, yeah, you better believe it. We're probably at Metro Detention Center, or whatever police station. And Mikey's agent bails him out and asks him about an autobiography, which Mikey hasn't written a word one yet. His agent seems done with his BS. Mikey screams he isn't writing a book about the past. And then at a park somewhere, unknown location, Crockett is waxing poetic about the streets while Mikey is sitting at a table. Crockett asks Mikey what he's going to do. And then they part ways.
Street lamps can't light the potholes in the sidewalk or the traffic jams at night, the hollering and horrors. Silent. Except inside my head. So
So I go deaf and destitution. Make the floor my bed.
I can lie on the two-lane blacktop. Embrace the wheels of chance. One more blast of dying. And my soul will live forever. Cause my body lives inside my mind.
When you're dead, you're dead, Mikey. What's it gonna be? Is that what you want?
I don't know, man. My soul is slogging throughout me.
Along the water later that night, Hubbs is with Gallego and he says he wants to do biz with him because the supply is good. Hubbs says, a.k.a. Cooper, that he has a 100-key order. Gallego says he wants to wait until he gets his case back to do biz. Cooper says, as he's walking, then Gallego is retired and walks away. So that's just a really yank on his chain to get him to do the deal.
Oh, right. I mean, aside from the briefcase and Mikey thingy, they wanted to get Gallego here. So Gallego's like, I'm going to wait till I get my briefcase back. And Tubbs is like, too bad then. You could wait. I'll go to somebody else, right? So at OCB here, Tubbs tells Crockett that Gallego shut down. He's pretty much not, you know, wanting to do anything just yet. And then they go to tell Gallego isn't selling until he gets his briefcase back. So they all agree here to press hard on Mickey. Castillo says, don't blow Switek's cover. Let's start working this one and see, you know, what comes up. So now at the theater, they're running through the show in practice. And wouldn't you know it, things go a tad haywire when Stan starts doing his impromptu Elvis impression, complete in full costume. Mickey here ain't having none of this, kicks his ghetto blaster and berates Stan. He's like, what are you doing? This is not what we planned. All this while in the background, Crockett and Tubbs walking and watching. So Mickey here, he goes wacko and he pops some pills and he starts going on some acting whirl. Did he pass out? Well, it shows that he passed out. And then people start screaming for a doctor. But was this part of the act?
I think so.
So anyway, a few moments later, we're in the theater's green room here. Mikey's laying down on a cot or something like that. And he wakes up to Crockett reading some more poetry while Pito, his brother, looks on here. I don't know if it was blood brother or just brother, but he said he's my brother.
Right.
So Mikey here starts saying he'll chew up Gallego if he comes around, you know, looking for this briefcase. You know, he's playing tough guy here. Crockett saying he can't see his hand in front of his face and then he's going to be dead or others are going to be dead. So Caneo, his other partner, wants to talk to Mikey alone as he was was in the joint with him. So he knows how to roll with them. Everyone leaves the room here. Caneo shuts the door and then Caneo asks him, where's this case? I was threatened. Where's this case? So Mikey gets up here. And it's hidden behind some like a door for a service panel, like an electric panel or something like that. Grabs a briefcase right out, opens it up and takes a piece of paper out and then he pockets it. Conejo says, hey, let me deal with this. I know how to deal with Gallego. We'll make everything cool. They put the case back and then Mikey here starts flipping out and climbs out the window, trying to make a run for it. Conejo, you know, says he's not going to make it in the street. Mikey retorts, I'm going to the moon. Kind of a weird scene. It didn't really flow well, I don't think, but I kind of got the gist, but it just was weird.
Back at OCB, Crockett and Tubbs are talking about Mikey on how Crockett busted him, and when Mikey got out of prison, he sent him tickets to a play he had written. Tubbs snaps Crockett out of him, thinking Mikey is a really good guy deep down. Once a junkie, and I think he's like, hey, Sonny!
Right, just shouted, hey, you know, kind of. Get with it now.
There's several episodes. There were several episodes where Crockett became enamored with people. And I think back to El Viejo with Willie Nelson as the Texas Ranger.
He really kind of got suckered in, right?
First time I busted him. 6 months later, he sent me a thank you note. And tickets to a play he had written about going cold turkey in the joint called The Jolt. Telling you, Rico, his stuff is so real, so honest. Tells you so much. You find find a light in a guy like that, you want to cut through the crap.
Sonny. Sonny. Once a junkie.
And now at the Mi Vida Loca Theater, Switek is scoping out the joint. He sees Pito, and Pito says Geigel will kill Mikey and shows Stan the nook where the case was. Stan starts looking at the papers, and Pito thinks he works for Geigel. Stan outs himself and says that he's there to help, so he says, I'm a cop.
Got lucky. So now we're at OCB. This is a rather quick scene where Crack and Tubbs get a call from Switek that he found the copies of what was in the case. And Crockett here thinks that Mikey is on his way to sell what was ever in it. So now, well, we're assuming this was Gallego's apartment. We see a goon and Gallego get into a limo with a case and then drive off. But as they pull out on the street, they see Mikey on the street here and they stop and talk. And Mikey says, I can help you get the case pretty much for a price. Gallego agrees, but wants him to ride in the trunk. I'm not riding in the trunk. I think Gallego says, you smell, you're stinky. I'm not going to have you on my velour here or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's velour. Yes, he said that.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame him. So one of the goons here pops the trunk, and lo and behold, what do we see in the trunk here? We see Conejo inside with an obvious head wound here. Looks like he's DOA. So Mikey's playing it up here, spits on and says, you blew it. And it could have had the money. So Gallego wants to talk with Mikey here along the waterside. He says to Mikey, do something with your head and a knife.
He said hair. Do something with your hair because his hair is off. He wanted him to get a haircut.
Right. And besides, he was stinky too. So after he says this, pulls out a knife, knifes him in the gut, and then dumps him into the drink.
So now we're back at OCP, and the vice team is going over the paperwork found in the case. It's a lot of funeral home expenditures to the tune of $75,000. Crockett thinks that the funeral home is a front to crack. Sounds like Breaking Bad and the laundry service. Castillo says to get on. Go ahead, Mark.
As soon as they brought this up, I immediately thought that. You got this. Obviously, you've got the incinerator for the crematorium type thing, right? And sure enough, they got the laundry service and what was down underneath in Breaking Bad, the Walt and Jesse making their crack cocaine. I'm sorry, I digress, but it just fell right into lockstep on that.
So Castillo says to Crockett and to get on Gallego, and then he would get the warrants for the mortuary. And outside of Gallego's place, we have Crockett and Tugs waiting for him in the Ferrari, and then we hear girls on a boat nearby screaming that there's a body. This I don't understand. You knife a guy, you dump him right outside where you live. Crockett and Tubbs rush over and see Mikey, who has somehow made it to a boat and climbed aboard, and he's still alive. Tubbs gets, he calls for an ammo, and since the ambulance company doesn't have him completely covered, and I see no IV lines hanging, I assume it's BLS to PCH, and they are not the closest.
It's one of those, if you know people.
Yes. Then Crockett gets a call, and the other vice team is at the funeral home. So they split. So they're ready to serve the warrants on funeral home.
So now we are now at the funeral home here. Crack and Tubbs arrive at the mortuary, and the whole vice team is pretty much staking out the property until more backup arrives, assuming before obviously serving the warrant on what's going on in here. So in the distance, we see Gallego take his shoe out of this limo. And I think it was Tubbs that said, hey, someone missing a shoe or something like that. So they weren't going to wait. They obviously knew something's up. The team moved in after they saw the smoke coming out of the smokestack there. Obviously, the incinerator's going. Obviously, something's being burned here, right? So they want to get in before the evidence is gone. And then, wouldn't you know it, it's a shootout at the funeral home. Rest fail. Some goons are popped. Some are surrounded. Inside, Gallego is with some thugs, and they're loading bags of coke into one of these crematorium boxes, hoping to stuff it into the incinerator before everyone gets in. Crockett and Tubbs pop into the room just in time to stop two goons from burning the junk. And then inside of another box, we see a dead Conejo. Obviously, they were going to get rid of him. Crockett takes off after Gallego. Tubbs opens up the door on the incinerator. Coke's already on fire. I don't know how he got it out, but it's already burning. And then Crockett finally nabs Gallego just as he's about to drive away. I mean, he was literally within seconds of getting away.
I don't know if they really had any cocaine evidence, but they had the body of Conejo. So they got him on murder regardless. It was not quite clear.
Right. Even if they did use an extinguisher, there's always going to be coke residue in there, right? Yeah, be some sort of residue.
And now we're at the hospital, and Mikey's theater crew and Croc and Tubbs learn Mikey is dying. Crockett says Mikey started 100 good things and screwed all of them up, but the theater doesn't have to go that way. It's up to his crew to carry on. Croc and Tubbs are summoned to Mikey's room, and he asks them who killed Gallego. Crockett says he's locked up, and then Mikey says you should kill him. He also says he doesn't want to go out like he came in the world bloody and broke. So basically, Crockett looks at Tubbs, you know, this Mikey wants to hold on to some cash while he takes his last breath, and Tubbs dukes him, you know, a couple bills, and then they leave.
So you didn't tell me you killed Gallego?
No. But we got him locked up.
Stupid killer.
Save your energy.
For what? Tomorrow we play touch football. I don't want to die this way. I came into this world bloody and broke. I swore I'd die with money in my pocket. Till I'm gone. Let me hold some for 5 minutes.
He's not going to make it through the night.
So now they're driving away, and Tubbs laments on Mikey being a mugger, a thief, etc., and commits every sin. Suddenly, Sonny makes this look and a realization, and you know, flips around, and they race back to the hospital. They find that he left and broke into their pharmacy, the hospital pharmacy, and stole some drugs. And even the doctor's wondering how, you know, I don't know how this guy's walking. How far can he get? And then, right at the very end, Crockett looks at Tubbs, and obviously, he's the one that egged Tubbs to give Mikey some cash. So you know, Tubbs is going to want it back. And Sonny, with his grin, says, do you take a check?
Take a check.
Got it. Was I laughed at that.
IMDb for the ratings, give this a 6.7. Tim, what do you think on this one?
You know, Mark, for this one just didn't do it for me. I didn't like all the Mikey yelling and the melodrama and things like that. It was a little far-fetched on stuff. So I kind of agree with the rating. And for the second episode in a row, we find the writers stuck with creating scripts just to finish out this season, or at least that's my opinion. The plot revolved around a couple of ex-cons, now actors, who steal the briefcase of Don Gallego, which... that was something very important in that he shuts down all drug deals until he gets the case back. After Gene and Trudy track down the makeup artist that leads to finding Mikey, the OCB team plays a game of cat and mouse with Mikey, who was always the consummate actor. Don Gallego found him as well. He killed Conejo and stabbed Mikey. Some of the redeeming aspects of this episode is that Mikey scams everybody with his great acting and gets away, all the while being high on drugs he stole from the hospital. The humorous exchange at the very end between Croc and Tubbs made me chuckle when Sonny said, will you take a check? And also Stan doing his Elvis. Otherwise, it kind of fell flat for me. And I think why is that at the beginning of the season, and really in this season, Dick Wolf took over for Michael Mann. And it started out really strong with like riff from the headline scripts, and then it kind of went away from that. Then it fell maybe back into it a little bit, but you know, these last couple episodes are just, it didn't have the punch for me. Mark, what do you think?
Right. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying these last few, but I like this episode, Tim. I think it could have been rated a little bit higher. A good solid episode, kind of seems to harken back, you know, season one and season two. Now go with me here. It goes back with a good story and good characters. Okay, the story was good. Michael here playing Mikey, he was actually portraying a person in a theater who these people, you know, for what I see, they're always very melodramatic, like you said, and very strong in, you know, his showing here. I like, he did a great job in the scene where he allegedly overdosed and they took him back into their green room there. It was a simple plot with good characters, but it wasn't a great episode. It was just a good filler Nothing great, nothing terrible. But yeah, it wasn't the rip from the headlines for Dick Wolf here. But you had this drug dealer guy, and you got somebody was kind of beholden to him or wanted to get him, thinking he could one up this big old drug dealer guy. And we thought he was going to pay the ultimate price. But alas, he went the way of Phil the Shill now, didn't he? Just kind of up in like in the Shawshank Redemption, like the warden said, he up and disappeared like a fart in the wind, right? He pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, even Crockett by extension, and Tubbs when they gave him some cash. I could see Phil here when he went to be the TV preacher. I could see Phil and Mikey here, you know, showing up in a mega church somewhere along I-80, you know, Pastor Mikey. Good episode. Not great. Didn't fall flat, but it was just a good story to fill towards the end of the season here.
Towards the end of the season. So, you know, we'll see what happens on our next episode. That it's the final one of the season. Yep. Do they finish strong like they did in season two when Tubbs had, you know, he's going at it again with Calderon's son.
Right.
Calderon's son and Orlando Calderon.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
Go, people. Let's check out the music. In this episode, we have The Leader by Chris DeBerg. That's when Crockett finds Mikey on the boat. The Vision by Chris DeBerg. That's the shootout at the funeral home. And What About Me by, yes, Chris DeBerg. That's when we see Crockett and Tubbs visiting Mikey at the hospital in the end.
And Mark, there was no Jan Hammer music that was credited to this episode.
Let's check out the goofs, fun facts, and locations. Our first goof here, we've got when Crockett is reciting Mikey's poetry to him in the rain under this pavilion thing. He's facing away and has to turn his head to look at Mikey. However, when the camera cuts, Crockett is suddenly facing directly towards Mikey.
Mark, our first location is Washington Avenue at Española Way, Miami Beach. And that's the opening where Tubbs and Gallego are mugged by Mikey and Conejo.
Another location here, 412 Espanola Way, Miami Beach. And that is the Mi Vida Loca Theater.
And our final location is 21st Street Recreation Center, 2100 Washington Avenue, Miami Beach. And that is the Higher Light Mortuary. So as we see, they kind of have, when they did a filming, they really limited themselves to a certain area. You got Washington Avenue, Espanola Way.
Yeah, all one neighborhood, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Probably coming down on permit fees. Okay, let's check out the trivia for this episode. Last episode, we asked, when Gina is on the phone talking to Crockett and where their suspects are located, what Rubik's Cube type game is on her desk? And this was the Missing Link game. And we'll throw up a picture in our episode and social media.
This episode's trivia question is, what was the name of the ambulance company that took Mikey to the hospital? You can post your answers on this episode's Facebook post, or you can email us at MiamiVice@duck.com.
We've arrived at Snerd Chalkboard of Wisdom, where we hope to inspire, enlighten, or make you snicker a little. In both the world of Miami Vice and our current world at large, we encounter many challenges we work to overcome. In the interest of creating a family-friendly atmosphere through the show and on our social media, we'd like to offer some parting thoughts, a simple quote, phrase, or words of encouragement, or a funny quip to you, our listeners. Because without you, our friends, we'd be talking to ourselves. And yes, we say friends because that's what we consider everyone who listens and follows our social media. This episode's quote is, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." And that's from Margaret Mead.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us on this review. We hope you found this episode exciting and entertaining. If you enjoyed it, please consider subscribing to our podcast and following us on our social media channels to stay updated on our latest episodes. On Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, we are Vice of Miami Podcasts. Your support means everything to us, and if you have a spare moment, we would be incredibly grateful if you could leave us a rating and review on those channels. Thanks again for listening, and we can't wait to share more with you soon. So we'll catch you next time on the Vice of Miami Podcast on Show 72, covering Episode 24, Heroes of the Revolution. Now,
good luck, pal.